Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Please note that today's Shiur for Daf Pei Gimel begins on Pei Gimel on the base at the beginning of the 8th Perek of Bava Kama, the beginning of the new Perek. For those who are Daf Yomi purists and you want to begin your Daf Pei Gimel Shir at the very beginning, literally at the beginning of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, you will find that as part of our Pei Beis, Daf Pei Beis recording, at the 57 minute 58 second mark, 57:58 of the Daf Pei Beis recording. Of course, if you're going to turn to that point, recognize that you would need to back up a bit in order to get into the discussion at that point. Today, we begin from the new perek, the 8th perek, perek HaChovel. HaChovel means to instill an injury, to impact someone causing injury. And the Mishnah, you will see, has house markings in it, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivne, a structural note in the margin, where a house shape is featured, and we note, Havlotas chamisha atashlumin benizke odom. There are five different types or forms of payment that must be made when a person injures a fellow man. We mention that in contrast with a case of an animal causing injury to a person, there only one of the payments are made, the nezek payment. Before we read through the Mishnah, just keep our eyes on the house markings. First, we'll list them off: nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, and boishes. Briefly, what are they? Nezek, literally damage payments, that would be a payment that reflects the depreciation that is the result of the injury that was imposed. Tsar is a payment for the pain experienced. Ripui, medical expenses. Sheves, unemployment payment. Boishes, embarrassment, compensation for experiencing embarrassment. Each one of these payments has a source in the Torah. Rashi makes a very, very abbreviated reference to each source. In our marked Gemaras, you'll notice a double underlining that appears in the Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow lines, where Rashi cites the relevant psukim for each one of these payments. The Mishnah. Hachovel b'chavero chayev olov mishum chamisha dvarim. One who injures his friend is obligated to compensate five different forms of payment. They are benezek, betzar, beripui, besheves, uboishes. Benezek, ketzad. What would be an illustration of a nezek payment? Simo es eino, if he was blinded. Kita es yodo, if he cut off his arm. Shiber es raglo, if he broke his foot. Royen oisoi kiiluhu eved nimkar beshuk. We look at the individual as if he is a servant being publicly sold. he would be imagined as selling himself as a Jewish servant. V'shomen kama hoya yofe v'kama hu yofe. And an evaluation, shomen, an evaluation is made. How much was he worth? How much would he have been sold for before the injury? And how much would he be sold for now? And that differential is what is paid as the nezek payment. tsar, pain, kvo yibushpud oy b'masmer. The word kvo is associated with the realm, we'll say, of burnt. But as you'll see in the Gemara, you lose something in what we call the literal translation. So kvo b'shpud, a shpud is a spit. A person burnt his friend using a spit or a masmer, often translated as a nail. And Rashi says, ke'ev hamaka. The kvo b'shpud is the burning with a spit, or b'masmer means impacted with a nail. V'afilu atziporno mokum she'eno oise chabura. Even if it's on, and now here's ironically, the word nail we saw at the end of the line, masmer is in the form of hammer and nail. And here, tziporno is nail as in fingernail. So that the nail impacted the person on his nail. But that part of a person's body, no bruise will result. It's simply the pain of the impact. Now, here we translate the Mishnah. There's further discussion in the Gemara on the topic, but Omdim is similar to the word Shuma in the sense of we estimate. How much would a person like that accept monetarily to subject himself to that kind of pain? So the amount the person would accept to experience that kind of pain is what he receives for the tsar that he experienced. Ripui, hiko chayav luraposo. A person who hit his friend, he has to pay the medical expenses. Alu bo tsmochim. Tsmochim are, we'll say, bruises or ulcers that result from the impact. Im machmas hamaka chayav. If these tsmochim arose on his flesh as a result of the impact, so he must pay for the medicines and treatments for healing that. Shaloi machmas hamaka poter. If tsmochim arose but were not related to the impact, then the offender is exempt. Choisa v'nistera, choisa v'nistera. If there was healing and then subsequent sickening. Nistera literally means the undoing, the destruction of. So there was a level of healing that the individual, that the victim was achieving, but then there was a setback. That's the nistera. Choisa v'nistera. Chayav l'raposo. The offender has to keep paying for the medical bills. Now, this term, choisa, is in contrast with the next point, choisa kol tzorcha, complete healing. If the victim experienced a complete healing, then some type of medical problem arose afterwards, eino chayav l'raposo. The original offender doesn't have to pay those medical bills. Sheves, unemployment. Royan oisoi, we look at the victim who currently cannot function at all. We look at him, kiilu hu shomer kishuin. We would view him during his period of incapacitation as a kishuin, is a type of vegetation that grows in fields. Fields like that require guarding, so you have to hire a guard, a watchman. I think you can work with the assumption that this is, we call, a type of occupation that receives minimum wage. So he will receive that minimum wage payment during the time he's totally incapacitated. Ah, you'll say, but the man's occupation before the injury was much, much more, affluent or received a much higher salary than a guard. So how do we justify paying for his period of unemployment a guard rate? So the answer to that is Shekvar Nosan Loy Deme Yodo Deme Raglo. The initial depreciation fee that was paid covered that loss of that loss of income. So what remains as far as compensation is concerned is during the period of total incapacitation, he receives this unemployment rate, this minimum wage as well. Boishes hakol lefi hamevayesh v'hamisvayesh. Embarrassment is dependent on the level of the individual who was the source of the embarrassment, that caused the embarrassment. There you have people of minimal standing. You have people of significance in the community. It makes a difference who is doing the embarrassing, and likewise who was the victim of the embarrassment. If it was a person of high rank, so the embarrassment there is different than a person of very limited status. The Gemara opens with the very famous question concerning the verse that speaks of ayin tachas ayin, eye for an eye. The Gemara opens with the question, amai, why is there payment? Ayin tachas ayin omrachmona, emo ayin mamish. An eye for an eye. Offender knocked out someone's eye, so let's take the offender and knock out his eye. Before we even deal with the Gemara structure, which is quite elaborate, you'll in fact notice that it extends till Daf Pei Dalet Omer Aleph. Before we get to that, just a quick vort. The Pasuk speaks of Ayin Tachas Ayin, and I'm sure most of our listeners are aware that in traditional Jewish law, we don't in fact knock out the offender's eye because he had knocked out the victim's eye. That is a justice system that's characteristic of other countries to remain politically correct, so we won't name them by name. But in traditional Jewish law, there is no such thing as knock of eye for an eye. The Pasuk actually says, Ayin Tachas Ayin. I heard in the name of the Vilna Goyen that you take the word Ayin, Ayin Yud Nun. Tachas means literally underneath. The letter in the Hebrew alphabet that follows Ayin is the letter Pei. The letter following the Yud is a Chof. So far we have a Pei and a Chof. The letter following a Nun is Samach. Take those three letters, we listed them out of order, but we mention Pei, Chof, and Samach. If you spell the word in the reversed form, rearranged form, not reverse, but a rearranged order of letters, you get Chof, Samach, and Pei. That spells the word Kesef. So ayin, tachas ayin, means, according to what the Vilna Goyen is explaining, you take the word ayin, and you look under the letters ayin, and you find out what really has to be paid. Kesef, cash, compensation for the injury. I hope you enjoyed that. And in the meantime, we go back to the Gemara. The side of our Mark Gemara has a Nosei / Mivneh heading. That's a topic heading with a structural note. And we also indicate that this continues to Daf Pei Dalet Omer Aleph. It's highly recommended to have open in front of you the two pages. So if you're viewing this on a screen, we have always advocated printing things out. You will notice, what might you notice? First, you might notice a numbering system that runs down the side of the Gemara text. You will probably notice also diamonds in the Gemara text. Do you notice as well, you'll see double underlines that begin to appear at the bottom of our current Omid, on the side of the Gemara. Let's read our note. The diamond highlights Hoychochos Shemazik Mishale Momun, proofs, scriptural proofs, and other. We have scriptural and we'll say logic to prove that the offender pays money. V'lo amrinon ayin tachas ayin mamish. We don't say literally eye for an eye. The word mamish means literal. Shemanishim es hamazik b'yiradas ha'evir mamish. We don't say that we punish the mazik, the damager, the offender, with the removal of that particular limb literally. How many attempts to prove this, that it's a money payment, do you see in the Gemara? So if you use our numbering system, you'll find that we get up to 9. In fact, when you get to 9, there's part A and part Aleph and part Beis, part A and part B. So we have a number of, we'll say, proofs or attempts to prove that it's cash, not eye for an eye literally. Note that in addition to the diamond, some of the numbers have a diamond that's encircled. The reason for that is we've written on the side, Hoychochos Shelo Nidchu. These are proofs that it's money and not literal. Proofs that remain, that are not rejected. When we speak about rejecting a proof, that means that we're unsuccessful at various points in the Gemara in proving that it's cash, leaving you with the idea that it actually could be eye for an eye. So you're going to find something that I find personally fascinating, that when you go through the Gemara and you have attempts to show that it's cash and the attempt fails, you know what? We're going to be left with the thinking that it could in fact be eye for an eye. Not only that, but if you count the number of successful attempts, they're actually in the minority. Attempt number 1, that you see is in circle. Of course, looking at the numbers that run along the side of the Gemara text itself, number 1 will be successful. It takes a long time in the Gemara to develop number 1. Number 4 is successful. In other words, what we'll say at point 4 will withstand any objections. So it will be a successful proof that in injuries, it's not eye for eye literal, but rather cash. And number 5 and number 9. Well, 1, 4, 5, and 9. That's only 4 successful attempts. The majority actually fail. Take that for whatever it's worth. All I can say is just by way of, we'll say, editorial comment, and this is a theme that we try to convey throughout Gemara markings, is that the oral tradition is imperative in order to understand the Torah, the written law. The 5 books of Moses are basically a closed book without the oral tradition. And here, in order to conclude that eye for an eye is not literal, you have to employ the oral tradition. Otherwise, you would be left with the literal reading of the pasuk, eye for an eye. Could you imagine someone imposes injury, of course, deliberately, to someone else, so the offender will have that very limb removed as punishment. But we, as we said, through the oral tradition, conclude that it's the Torah intends for it to be a cash payment. Will we be successful? So by the end of the Gemara, when we get to point 9, you will see that, yes, there are successful proofs along the way, but not all of them. The Gemara. The Gemara that we read, before reading the Gemara, we have a little more work, by the way, in the markings. The double underline that will appear, it appears at the bottom, are Dichios HaGemara, the Gemara's rejections. Dichios HaGemara Omeres The Gemara will say, "Umay kushya." What's your, literally, what's your difficulty? What's your difficulty in reading the pasuk literally? And that's the phrase that you'll see underlined from time to time, where the Gemara says, "Amri umay kushya." Dilma manishim es hamazik behoirodas ho'ever mamish. Maybe we punish the offender with the removal of his very limb, the limb that he caused the victim to lose. We take away that limb from the offender. V'im tishal kach v'kach, and if you'll ask such and such and such and such, yesh lanu tshuva, we have an answer for your questions. So if you're going to try to question the idea of literal limb removal, we'll answer your questions and we'll be left with the idea, yes, literal limb removal. So as we go through the Gemara, you'll see that phenomenon repeating itself at various stages. So now we do turn back to the Gemara after hearing the question, who says, like the Mishnah, that you have to compensate in cash? Maybe the reality is that you remove the limb that the offender injured. Lo salka daitoch. No, you cannot think thusly. Desanya. I want to point out before we go further, we have a little starred note, and on the side we've written maskona, maskonas haychachazu, the conclusion of this proof, mofia sheshuos misayf omud, avalata lokeach. Means when we have to work our way down till six lines from the bottom of this page in order to come to the conclusion of the proof. So it takes a while of Gemara. So now we could go back to the Gemara, desanya, yochol simo eseno, mesam eseno. Could it be that if the offender blinded the victim's eye, we then blind him, the offender? Kita kota es yodo, the offender cut off someone's leg, someone's arm. Mikatea es yodo, will cut off the offender's arm. Shiber es raglo, mishaber es raglo, he broke his foot, so will break his foot. Could that be? Talmud lomar, make odom umake behema. These words are, we'll say, a paraphrase. They're not a literal. These are not literally a posuk. We'll see that a bit later. The idea right now is to compare make odom, impacting a person, and make behema, impacting an animal. Ma make behema l'tashlum, just like when an animal is the victim of injury, the owner is compensated with cash, tashlum, and payment. Af make odom, so too when a person is victimized, l'tashlumin, financial compensation, and not literal removal of limb. Ve'im nafshoch loimar, that's an expression you see throughout the Shas from time to time. That means, and if you have anything to question about what we just said, then harei u'omer, I'll give you a second proof that it's cash. The pasuk says regarding a murder. It says lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lomus. You shall not take money to absolve the murderer, for he is a wicked man destined to be executed by the court. Lenefesh rotzeach yato lokeach kofer. For a murderer, you do not accept financial compensation. Kofar literally has to do with atonement. It's money paid that atones. So the Pasuk emphasized the non-payment. You do not take money for whom? For a nefesh rotzeach, for a murderer. Avol atolokeach kofar l'rosh eivorim shein choisrin. However, you do accept compensation, and that is what one does. It pays money or cash value for having injured, for having knocked out limbs that do not return. Whereas, in other words, after a an arm of someone was cut off by an offender, so that offender pays cash. When is there no cash payment, but rather we'll say a literal removal? That is if a murderer removes someone's life, namely he killed the victim. In that case, we are literal in the way punishment is meted out, and that is through his court execution. The Gemara is now interested in finding out, deciphering what was meant by the first proof where we had our little aleph, Make Odom Make Behemo. Before we go through the next several lines of Gemara, let me draw your attention to a series of psukim that we've included on the side of the Gemara. Let's read the psukim that we've written on the side. We're reading from Vayikra Perek Chav Dalet, psukim Yud Zayin, through Chav Aleph. The Torah deals with causing injury. The pasuk says in pasuk Yud Zayin, V'ish ki yaked kol nefesh odom mois yumos. Pasuk Yud Ches, U'make nefesh behemo yishameno nefesh tachas nefesh. Yud Tes. V'ish ki ten mum ba misoi kasher oso ken ye ose loi. Pasuk Chof, Shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, kasher yitain mum ba odom, ken yinosein bo. And finally, Pasuk Chof Aleph, U'make behemo yishameno, U'make odom yumos. There is value in even merely hearing the psukim. There appear, even if you have minimum Hebrew knowledge, you likely will have noticed, certain ideas being repeated again and again. Now we go back to the Gemara. Hey, Make, which Make did the Tana have in mind when he said, that we see from Make Odom and Make Behema, we see that when it comes to injuring a person, there's money compensation, just like when injury is imposed upon an animal. So which verses are you referring to? E lema pasuk chof aleph, Make Behema yishamenu, Make Odom yumos. In that pasuk you see Make Behema, and you see Make Odom. Yeah, but that pasuk has no relevance to our discussion, because ahu bekat lotziv. That pasuk is talking about a person who is subject to the death penalty. In fact, there's no payment. Ela mehocha, rather from here. Make, and this is pasuk yud ches. Make nefesh behema yishalmeno nefesh tachas nefesh. That pasuk describes injuring someone's animal. And in the pasuk it says, payment shall be made. V'somichle, and in, next to it, in pasuk yud tes, proximity of psukim in the Torah oftentimes is a determining factor in legal conclusions. So next to pasuk yud ches, it says, v'ish ki tein mum b'miso, kasher oso ken ye oso lo. So that in this pasuk, you see the description of a man imposing injury on his friend, and the source above claimed that just like in Makia Behema there's payment, so too in Makia Odom. So that's the point over here. Those are the two psukim that the source referred to when it said Makia Odom Makia Behema. It's referring to psukim Yud Ches and Yud Tes. In Yud Ches you see reference to Make Behema, and in Pasuk Yud Ches you see Ki Tein Mum Bamisa, when one imposes a blemish upon his friend. The Gemara asks, Hai Lav Makehu, Pasuk Yud Ches doesn't have the word Make in it. When we read the original source and it said Make Odom Make Behema, the thinking was that there's a Gezeira Shava, there's a word comparison. Just like by Behema you find Make, by Odom who's injured, by man that's injured, you also find Make. I don't see that here. In Pasuk Yud Ches, you see Make Nefesh Behema. But in Pasuk Yud Ches, you don't see the word Make, so where's the word comparison? The Gemara answers, Anan, we, Hakol Koamrinon. We're not dealing with a literal word comparison. We're dealing with an idea comparison. And idea comparisons are legitimate, even though it's not literally the same words, but it's the same idea, impact. Mahako amur b'behema, just like the impact stated by the animal, l'tashlumen, payment is made there, the pasuk said, yishamena. Af hako amur b'odom l'tashlumen. So too, the reference to impact, injury upon man, the pasuk yud tes, where it opened with the words v'ish ki yitein mum b'amiso, that's when a man imposes a blemish upon his friend, which means he impacted him. So there too, it's l'tashlumen. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. The bracketed section, we've noted on the side, and we will read our note. Haketa b'sagrayim, this piece of Gemara in the brackets, lefi hori b'toisus di bramaschol af lo garsina le klal, according to the Tosus commentary that you can see almost halfway down the page. That Tosus that begins af akop, that Tosus mentions the opinion of the Re, lo garsina le klal. That means this whole section is removed. Avol muva rishonim b'shita mekubetzis, in the book called the Shita Mekubetzis, a compilation of commentaries of rishonim on the Masechta. There are rishonim shematzdikim girsusenu. There are those rishonim that find this text legitimate, and they maintain the text. So, with them in mind, we continue the Gemara. V'hok siv. Up till now, we've seemingly proven that causing injury on man is like causing injury on an animal. Payment is made, nothing beyond that, no literal removal of limbs. So in that light we ask, but doesn't it say v'ish ki yake kol nefesh oda mois yumos? This is a quote from Pasuk Yud Zayin. And when it says here v'ish ki yake kol nefesh oda, that's a reference to injuring a limb of the victim. And the Pasuk says mois yumos, and the thinking right now is if someone injured someone's limb, mois yumos, that limb of the offender shall be removed. And it was kill the limb, knock out that limb literally. The Gemara says, no, that's not the understanding of the Pasuk. But mamon, the mois yumos means the offender shall pay mamon, shall pay cash. Mimai de b'mamon emo b'miso mamish. How do you know that mois yumos means money? Maybe it means literally execution. And if you're dealing with limbs, it would mean cutting off that limb, the limb of the offender. The Gemara says, lo salka daitach. No, you can't think that. Chada, one reason not to think thusly, is the iskish lemake behema yishamena. I should read that again. Lemake nefesh behema yishamena. That is Pasuk Yud Ches. So that if, what were we asking from? We were asking from Pasuk Yud Zayin. Doesn't it say, Ish Kiyaki Kol Nefesh Oda Mos Yumas? And the thinking was the literal. Yeah, but that Pasuk is in the proximity of Pasuk Yud Ches, which spoke about Maki Nefesh Beimu Yishamena. Money is paid. Cash compensation. Nothing literal about that. So therefore, in Pasuk Yud Zayim as well, it's not dealing with killing the person literally. V'yoi ksiv basrei, and furthermore, it says further on in Pasuk Chaf, it says kashi yitein mum bodam kein yinosin bo. The presence of this pasuk. I should point out, we have a little note on the side, a little starred note, that reads, Ukvar hochachnu li'el. In quoting Pasuk Chaf, it mentions, Kashi yitein mum ba'adam. So we've already proven before, the mum ba'adam, b'pasuk yutes, the mum imposed in a man, that we saw in Pasuk yutes, hukash li'el, was compared before, l'makin efesh be'ema, Shabbat Pasuk Yud Ches, Shehu Momon. so that if you are raising any questions concerning the pasuk of the ish ki yaket kol nefesh odom mos yumos as a reference to something literal, but when you continue reading the parsha and you reach the end of pasuk chof, where it says kasher yitein mum ba'adam kein yinos en bo, we know that mum, that injury imposition, results in cash payment, as we saw in the pasuk before, where it spoke about mum and it was compared to make nefesh behema. Here, the Gemara asks, we had seen in the source above, we have a little arrow, by the way, to the side of the Gemara text, and in the source above, we said that if you don't find make odom, make behema a satisfactory proof that for injury there's cash payment and not literal limb removal, so if you have any questions about that, we have another source, the pasuk lo sichu koifer, and the inference from that. Umayim nafshach lomar, what might you have asked that motivated the source, the Tana in the source, to quote a second verse? So the Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer marking. Su kokashya latana. There continued to be a question that was bothering the Tana. My choses diafis mimake behema. What motivates you to learn where there's limb injury imposed on person, that we're going to learn that from make behema, from injury caused to animal, and come to the conclusion that it's a money payment, just like in the case of an animal that's injured. Leilif mi makah adam. Why not learn the situation of injury to man from makah adam? Or that's a reference to where a murder was committed. And what do we know in that case? We know that the offender is killed. In other words, he took someone's life away literally. His own life is to be removed literally. And just like over there, it's literal, so too in the case of mum imposition. Let's be literal. The Gemara responds, Amri, donin nezikin min nezikin, ve donin nezikin min misa. If we have the case of injury to man to be compared to something, so we'll compare matters of injury to other matters of injury and let those other matters set the precedent that it's a cash payment. We're not going to compare unlike things, nizikin, injury, mimisa, from the laws of murder, where the offender is in fact executed literally. Adaraba, I will tell you back to the contrary. Donin adam me adam ve donin adam me behema. I would rather judge the case of adam, man, from adam. What does that mean? Judge the case of man causing injury from the case of man committing a murder. And what do we say in the case of a man committing a murder? The punishment carried out is a literal punishment, literally what he tried to do or what he accomplished in his offense happens to him, the offender. So we say, donin odom e odom, will learn laws that apply to man from other laws that apply to man. And ain't done in Adam Behema. We're not going to law to learn the laws applying to man from those that apply to Behema. Now, at this point, then we're leaving you with the feeling that by saying done in Adam Adam, I'm going to actually remove the limb of the offender for his as punishment for his having removed the limb of the victim. Oh, so if you're going to leave us with that. Then Hainu the Katani, then I understand why the source had to continue and say, and we have a three-line quote, Im nafshech lomar, if you have any difficulty with our first approach, Harei u'omer lo sikhu kaifel nefesh rotzeach ashu rosh alomus,
kimos yumos.
And we infer from that pasuk, lenefesh rotzeach iyat alokeach kofer, from the murderer, you do not accept payment to spare him. Avolato lokeach kofer l'rosh evorim shein on chozrin. However, you do take kofer payment for the removal of those kind of limbs that don't ever return. The Gemara asks, "Vaha v'hai lo yisikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach limute roshe evorim hu da'asa." Are you sure that it's coming to exclude the case of Rosh Evorim? In other words, you're saying that in the case of a murder, so there you don't accept money. To the exclusion of the case of limb injury, you do accept money. But hi mi boy ale, I need the pasuk of Lo Sichu Kofer for the following. Diomar Rachmona Lo Savid Beitarti. As far as the murderer is concerned, you don't do two things to him. You don't do two. Loisishko mine momon vitiktale. You don't take from him a cash payment and also kill him. In other words, you do only one thing. You do the more serious type punishment, namely you execute him. So the posuk of losichu kefer lenefesh rotzeach is needed to tell me this point, that the rotzeach is to be punished with only one punishment. The Gemara says, hi, that idea that an offender, specifically the murderer, gets only one punishment, that has another source. Mikdei rish osoi nafka. And in the pasuk it said, kidei rish osoi. We explain, we darshan, the word risho is in the singular. So, risho achas atomachaivo, the atomachaivo shte rishoyos. We obligate him to be punished with one punishment, but not with two punishments. So, at this point in the Gemara, we've pointed out that the lo sikhu kofer pasuk is available to teach me that cash payment is not made in the case of murder, but cash payment is made in the case of limb injury. Vakati, but still, mi boyale, we still have a question, and that is we need the pasuk of lo sikhu kofer for something else. Dekom rachmona, lo sishko momon v'tifterei. The pasuk is needed for its own purpose. Rashi calls it legufei, namely that when you're dealing with a murderer, you don't take from him money in exchange for exemption. Pasuk is not here to be a source of inference to tell me about other things. It's needed to tell me the law regarding a murderer. You do not take money from him to get him off the hook. In Cain, so the Gemara responds, if the pasuk is not telling me about payment for injury, then lichtoiv rachmona, let the Torah write, lo sichu kofer l'asher hu rosh olomus. L'nefesh rotzeach lomali, why did the pasuk add those words, l'nefesh rotzeach? Shmamina, from those added words we learn, lenefesh rotzeach iyata lokeach kofer, avalata lokeach kofer, l'roshe varam she'enel chozrim. Only in the case of a murderer, we don't accept money to compensate for his offense, but rather he in turn is to be executed. Not so, though, with regard to roshe varam, limbs of a person that are knocked out. There we say, a cash payment is that which is made. Now that you have presented the pasuk of lo sichu kofer, make lomali. This is a reference to what we saw in the source above. We have a little star to the side of the Gemara text. You can see in the source above, in order to dispel literal literal punishment. We cited Makeh Odom Makeh Behema. What do I need the Makeh Odom Makeh Behema comparison for as a means of excluding the idea of injury from literal punishment, but rather cash is paid? What do I need Makeh Makeh for when I have Lo Sikhu Kefer Lenefesh Rotzech, from which I infer that point? The Gemara answers, Amri Ime Hai, had I had Lo Sikhu Hava Amina, I would have thought, when it comes to injury, I would have thought the way we deal with it is, E boy Eino Nesiv, E boy Deme Eino Nesiv. There is a choice. Either the offender pays with his own eye, literally knocking it out, or paying with cash. Komash lon mi behema, we therefore learn from behema, ma make behema litashlumen. Just like when it comes to imposing injury in animal, it's only cash payment. Af make odom litashlumen. So too by make odom, it's tashlumen, and not anything of a literal nature. So we've at this point finished proof from source number one, that when we speak about a man injuring his friend, knocking out a limb, the method of compensation is a cash compensation. Only in the case of murder do we say that there's no cash compensation that can be offered by the murderer. Number two. Tanya, the second approach or attempt to show that eye for an eye really means a cash payment. You'll notice that the number two is not circled, so that in the end, this will not be a successful attempt. Rav Destoy ben Yehuda Omer, Ayin Tachasayin Momen. The posuk that says Ayin Tachasayin means cash. Ata oimer momon oeno elo ayin mamish. You say it means cash. Maybe it means literally eye for an eye. Amris hare shohoiso eno shel ze gedoylo v'eno shel ze ketana. Imagine the eye of this one is large and the eye of this one is small. In other words, the eye of the mazik, the offender, is large, and the eye of the victim is small. Heich ani korei be ayin tachas ayin. How can I refer to an eye for an eye? It's unbalanced. Offender knocks out a small eye. Would it be justified as punishment to knock out his large eye? It's not eye for an eye. The posuk implying that it would have to be measure for measure, and it's not so. V'chiteimon, if you suggest, kol ki hai shokil mine momona, that if that be the case, if they're unbalanced in size, so then pay money. But if they are equal in size, then eye for an eye, literally. That's not a suggestion, though. HaTorah Omra, the Torah says, Mishpot Echad Yelochem, Mishpat Hashoveh L'Kulchem. The pasuk says one form of punishment shall be for all, something of an equal nature, not sometimes this way and sometimes that way. And that can be only if we insist that it's financial compensation. Then that will be the uniform form of punishment. Amri, my kushya, we ask, what is so difficult in saying that it's literal? Dilma, maybe, when it comes to nezikin, it means mamish and not payment. Ah, you ask about the seeming imbalance, large eye, small eye? No. Nahura shakul mine, nahura omrachman, and nishkol mine. The Torah is saying as follows, you took sight away from the victim, sight will be taken away from the offender. In other words, it's balanced. It's sight for sight. So we can say, literally, remove the limb.
and we're also maintaining Mishpore Echad Yilochem. Dilo Temahachi.
If you don't accept this analysis, we continue at the top of the Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Katon Shehorages a Godol, the Godol Shehorages a Katon. Hechi Katlinon Le.
Imagine a dwarf-sized person, a very small-sized individual, committed a murder and killed a large-sized person. Or a large-sized person killed a small-sized person. How in the world can we carry out the Torah penalty of execution? HaTorah Amra Mishpat Echad Yelochem Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem. There has to be a uniform form of justice. In other words, whatever we apply to this type of offender, we apply to that type of offender. So that if for this murderer we execute the murderer, and another murderer will also execute him. Ella, so how do we in fact maintain Mishpat Echad Yelochem by our executing murderers? Ella, the analysis is Nishama Shokil Mine, Nishama Amarachmon, and Nishkol Mine. The offender took away a soul, so his soul shall be taken away. Achinami, by the same token, in the case of damage, Nahira Shokil Mine, sight was removed. He, the offender, took away the victim's sight. Nahira Amarachmon, and Nishkol Mine. We shall, as punishment, take away the offender's sight. So, at this point then, eye for an eye might very well be literal. And as far as lack of uniformity in justice, not so. It's quite uniform. Sight for sight. So from this approach, we don't see that damage is compensated for by monetary payment. Tanyo Idoch, another source, Rabbi Shimon Choyomer, Ayin Tachas Ayin. Mamon, the pasuk means money. Pay money for compensation of damage. Ata oimer mamon o eno elo ayin mamish. You say it means money. Maybe it means literally knock out the offender's eye. Amris hare shohaya suma v'sima. Imagine the offender was himself blind and he caused someone else's blindness. Kitea v'kita. Someone who had his arm cut off. He was someone that cut off someone else's arm. Chiger v'chiger, a lame person caused lameness in someone else. Heichani korei boze ayin tachas ayin. How can I then do eye for an eye? In other words, someone who's already missing his eye and he blinded someone else, I can't do eye for an eye when he's already missing his eye. Vater omro mishpon echod yelochem, mishpon hashove lekuchem. The Torah says there must be a uniform form of justice, so that if you say eye for an eye, that can be carried out with a sighted person, but you wouldn't be able to carry that out where the offender is a blind individual. So you have to say that it's that punishment is recognized through payment. Then we have a uniform form of justice regardless of the nature of the offender. In all cases, he has to pay money. Amri umay kusha, we ask, what's so difficult about taking the literal approach? Dilma hechot efsher. Where it's possible to do the literal thing, we do it. Hechot lo efsher, lo efsher, patrinole. Where we can't carry out the punishment in a literal fashion, we exempt him. If you don't accept, before we go on, there's just a detail in Rashi that's quite important. On the third line from the top, and the offender, if we can't carry out the literal punishment, the offender goes free. With this, we fulfill the idea of the uniform justice system. So either we remove the limb or nothing. The Gemara continues, De'i lo teima hochi, if you don't accept this analysis, trefa shahara gesa sholem. May avdinon le. A trefa, in this case we're talking about a person
who has some type of organ deficiency that causes him to in all likelihood not live out his full life. He is called a trefa. A trefa, in the eyes of halacha, in a certain sense, is like a dead man. I know he's walking around and his heart is beating, but he's viewed as a dead man. What do I mean by that? If a trefa commits a murder, if he kills someone, he is not in turn executed. He's viewed as already executed. The Rashi touches on a very broad topic called eidus shi'a toichol hazima, testimony that cannot be undone through hazoma. If witnesses lied about an individual claiming he murdered, the Torah says what they tried to do to the offender, they in turn receive. They tried to see to the execution of an offender and they were shown to be false, they are then executed. If they had testified about a trefa committing a murder, what did they try to do? If they tried to falsely accuse through their testimony, a trefa individual of having committed a murder, what were they trying to do? Were they trying to see to it that he is killed? Not so, because he's already considered dead. Since that's the case, we can't apply to them what they were trying to do. They were trying to see the death of a dead man, but they're not dead men. So we're not able to do to them what they tried to do to the victim. That renders their testimony invalid. There always has to be the potential to have the fulfillment of hazoma. What they tried to do then happens to them when they're found to be lying. But if you can't do that, so then the testimony is illegitimate. How then do we handle cases where a trefa committed a murder? He killed someone that was complete, that was healthy. What do we do with him? The truth is, he's exempt. We don't do anything to him. What do we see from that? Elohecho de efsher, where you can carry out the punishment literally, we carry it out. Hecho de lo efsher, upatrino le, and where you can't carry it out literally, so we exempt him. At this point then, as far as eye for an eye, it might very well be literal. And if you'll ask, well, and if a blind man blinds someone else, what do? We do nothing. We exempt him. So from here, we don't have proof that the punishment for imposing injury is, in fact, monetary compensation. Debay Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they feature the following Tanaic source. Before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have Vayikra, Perichov Dalet Posuk Yates. We've recorded a Posuk, and following that Posuk Chof, it says, V'ish ki itein mum b'amiso, kasher oso ken ye oselo, shever Posuk Chof, shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shen tachas shen, kasher itein mum b'odom, ken yinosen bo. We read these Pesukim actually earlier in today's shiur as well. So the Tana de Baby Shmuel teach the following. Omar Kra. Kein yinosen bo. V'ein nesino elamomen. The Pesuk, at the end of Pesuk Chof, it said, after speaking about imposing a blemish and injury on an individual, Kein yinosen bo, and the word nesino means cash. Payment of cash. Elo me'ata, if that be the case, kasher yitein mum ba'odom. Hochi nami de mamonu. When you read that part of the pasuk in the middle of pasuk chaf, kasher yitain mum b'adam, does that mean something about giving money, payment? The Gemara obviously no, it doesn't mean that. So how do you know then that kain yinosen bo at the end of the pasuk means payment? The Gemara answered, Amri. The Bay Rabbi Shmuel Kroy Yisera Darshi. The Tana Bay Rabbi Shmuel school of thought focuses upon, derives their conclusion from what appears to be an extra phrase. Michti. Let's look into this. Ksiv, in Pasuk Yutes, it says, V'ish ki itein mum ba miso, kashir oso, ken ye ose lo. Pasuk Yutes already described a man who imposes a blemish upon his friend. What he tried to do, as he did, is done to him. Pasuk Yutes quite clearly described man imposing blemish on fellow man. And the end of that quote said, what he did to the victim, Kain Yosolo is then done to him. Kain Yinos and Bo, that phrase in Pasuk Chof, seems to say the same thing. Lomali. Why does that need to be stated? Shma Mino Momon. So you see from this, the seeming repeat enables us to take the Pasuk out of its literal form and explain that we're talking about money is paid as compensation for injury. The Gemara asks, Kashir Yitei Mum Ba'adam Lomali, that middle phrase of Pasuk Chof, what do I do with it? What do I need it for? The Gemara says, Aidi deboy miftaf, since the Pasuk needed to conclude, Kain Yinos and Bo, to teach me Mamon, Kosavnami Kashir Yitein Mum Ba'adam. It opens up with the beginning of the story that leads up to the money payment, namely, and when he imposes a blemish on his fellow man, so Kain Yinos and Bo, that's the conclusion. But there isn't any thing of, let's say, a halachic revelation in this part of Pasuk Chof that is of a novel nature. Debay Rabbi Chiya Tana. Did you notice, by the way, that before we go on to number five, that number four, by citing the extra phrase Kain Yosef Bo, we did conclude that damage for, payment for damage is in cash terms and not literal, not eye for an eye. Debay Rabbi Chiya Tana and the Yeshiva Rabbi Chiya, they taught the following. And this source makes reference to psukim in the context of Edim Zoymimim. So before we go on in the Gemara, just to get a flavor of the psukim from which there will be scriptural excerpts, we glance at the side. Dvorim Perek Yutes Posuk. We start with Posuk Yutes, afterwards Posuk Chof, and then Posuk Chof Aleph. The topic deals with Edim Zomim, and we touched on that just before. These are witnesses that testified falsely about some event, and we say what they tried to do to the defendant is in turn imposed on them as their punishment. The Pasuk says, and again we're reading from the side, Vasisem loy kasher zomam lasos li'ochiv uviyarta hara mikirbecha. Then we do to them what they schemed to do to the defendant. And with that, we eliminate the evil from our midst. Vanishorim yishmu v'yiro v'lo yusifu lasos oid kedavar hazeh b'kirbecha. And those that remain will hear and see and won't continue evil behavior. V'lo sochos einecha nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin, shein b'shein, yad b'yad, regel b'regel. The Gemara. Tana. Omar Kraw, the Pasuk says, by Eid Zomeim, yad b'yad. Dovar hanitan miyad b'yad. That which is exchanged from hand to hand, my new mamon. Money. So, if, let us say, the Eid Zomeim had testified that so-and-so caused someone's, cut off someone's arm, what do we do to the Eidim Zomimim? We make them pay money. We make them pay the value of the arm, the value of the depreciation. And where do we learn that from? From the expression yad biyad, that which you give from, that which you transfer from hand to hand. What do you give? What do people give from hand to hand? They give money. Elo me'ato. Well, based on that style of drosha, regel beregel, ma nami ochi hu. What do you do with the expression at the end of the pasuk, regel beregel? Amri, the Gemara responds. As far as how did the Debei Rabbi Chiya come to their conclusion in reality, Debei Rabbi Chiya kro yaseiro kodarshi. They found what appeared to be an extra phrase and expounded upon that. Michti, ksiv, vasisem loikasher, zomam lasos lochev. In looking into the pasuk, it said, in pasuk you test and you do to them what they scheme to do to the victim, to the defendant. If the punishment to these false witnesses is in fact literal, what did the pasuk say? It says we will do to them, to the false witnesses, what they tried to do to the defendant. If you're going to say literal, then yad biyad lamali. Why do you have to say arm for an arm? If they testified that the offender cut off someone's arm and it was false testimony, and you want to say then that their arm is to be cut off, that was already cited, that was already mentioned in Pasuk Yud Tes. So, Shvami, no, Mama. This Yad B'Yad, if you're going to be taking the psukim on a literal basis, this is extra. So from that point, we say the Torah is really imposing a money payment. All right. Regel beregel amali, what do we derive from regel beregel? I did receive Yad B'Yad, since that was mentioned. Kosav nami regel beregel. Say for some type of scriptural or stylistic balance, but not that there's something of a novel legal nature revealed in the expression regel beregel. So at this point then, we look at number 5, and it was successful that yad biyad is an extra expression. It's a kro yasera, very similar to the what we saw in approach number 4, the kro yasera proof. Number 6. Abaye Omar Asya Midatoni Debei Chizkiya. That money is the form of compensation for injury and not literal is learned from the Bei Chizkiya approach. The Tona Debei Chizkiya. In the Yeshiva of Chizkiya, they taught the following. Ayin tachas ayin, nefesh tachas nefesh. The Pasuk speaks about ayin tachas ayin. So, if you take things literally, it means eye for an eye. The lo nefesh ve'ayin tachas ayin. However, you're not allowed to take a life and the eye, or take the offender's eye and life, simply because he knocked out someone's eye. Now, v'yisal gadaitach mamish, if you're going to say, yeah, that really things are to be taken literally, that means some offender knocked out someone's eye. I am therefore going to knock out the offender's eye as punishment, as payment. Zimn de mishkachas lo, ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. But I'm then going to find at times that in exchange for the injury of merely an eye, in extracting a punishment to the offender, I'm going to actually cause not only his eye to go, but him to die as well. How's that? The Bahadi de Ovirlay, while we are carrying out our punishment of the mazik of the offender and blinding him, Nafkalei Nishmasi might die in the process. So that if you're going to apply the literal approach, it's going to sometimes be against what the Torah dictates. Umay Kusha, what difficulty is there in taking the literal approach? Dilma Meimir Amdino Leib. Maybe, in fact, we do things literally. We punish the offender in the same form that he imposed the injury on the victim. Literal. Ah, what about the issue we raised? No problem. We make an evaluation, a health evaluation of the offender. If he can withstand the retribution, so we do so literally. And if he can't withstand it, lo avdinon, then we don't carry out the punishment in the literal form. Ve'i amdinon demotzi makabel ve'avdinon levenofik ruche. And if we evaluated that he could withstand it, and we did the literal approach, and he happened to die, nofak ruche, literally his spirit departed him, his life breath departed him. If he happens to die, so be it. That's the way it goes. In fact, we have precedent for looking at things like that. Milo Tanan Gabi Malkus, do we not have precedent by lashings? Amduhu, the court evaluated the defendant that receives the lashings. Can he withstand it? Umeis tachas yodo, and after applying some lashings, the defendant died. Potter, the court official, is exempt. He didn't commit a murder. So we see from here that when it comes to limb removal as a means of retribution or restitution or what have you, it could be literal. You'll say that, but the guy might die in the process. That's not a problem per se, provided we subjected the offender to a health evaluation. No evidence here to money compensation for injuries. Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava Omar. Omar Kro. Pasuk says, Petza tachas petza. Litain tsar b'mokom nezik. That means we learn from Petza tachas petza that there's a payment for pain even when we are compensating for depreciation. There's an additional payment, tsar, for the pain that we pay to the victim of injury in addition to the nezek payment. Let's just reiterate what we said. There is something called an additional payment. Now, if punishment for injury is in the literal form, just like the victim who experienced the limb loss, which involved depreciation and pain, when we knock out the offender's equal corresponding limb, he experiences already both things, his own depreciation and the pain. Why, then, do I need petza tachas petza to teach me about some type of additional payment? There's no need for an additional payment if you take the literal approach. So it must be that that's not the approach to take. Rather, it's a cash approach. Umay kushya. What difficulty do you have in applying the literal approach? Dilma, we do things literally. And you'll ask, well then, why after knocking out the offender's equivalent limb, why then would we require him, the offender, to make some type of additional compensation? I'll explain. Dilma iko inish demefanik. There might be people that are exceptionally methodical, delicate, and the damage experience causes them additional pain more than regular people would experience under the same circumstances. And there are those that aren't so delicate, less late tsara, that don't have such a high level of pain. Lamai nafka mina, lamesva lei heich de beni beni. As far as the punishment approach is concerned, we can impose the literal approach, and as far as the reference to the Torah, petza tachas petza, that an additional payment is made for tzar, that would be in a case where the nizak, the victim, is exceptionally delicate. The mazik, the offender, will have to pay the additional amount of pain that he, the victim, experienced more than the offender experienced in the removal of his limb. So we will remove the offender's limb literally. He also experiences pain, but the victim had experienced more pain. That's what the Gemara means here when it says the meis filei, the offender then would have to give him, the victim, the baini baini, the difference that in the additional amount of pain that the victim experienced above the offender. So you can see at the end of approach 7, we're leaving you with the possibility that punishment for causing of injury is a literal approach. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Omar. Omar Kro Verapo Yirape. Litain Refua B'mokim Nezik. Similar to the drosha above, Petza Tachas Petza, here Verapo Yirape tells me that in addition to the payment of Nezik, of depreciation, of the victim, we pay victim's medical bills. So we have an additional payment, medical bills. If you think that it's eye for an eye, literally, after we, not just like the victim requires medical attention, asya is medical attention, so to the offender, when we knock out his limb as punishment, he too needs a medical attention. Why then should the offender have to pay an additional amount of medical expenses to the victim? So from the fact that the Torah speaks about paying extra medical expenses to the victim, meaning in addition to the depreciation, also medical expense, it must be that the entire approach to punishment for causing injury is a cash punishment. My kushya, what's the problem in setting it, this up in the literal fashion? You'll ask then if we're going to knock out the offender's equivalent limb, so he then too is going to need the medical attention that he'll have to pay for. So why does he pay the victim additional money for medical attention? Dilma, it could be as follows. Iko de solik bisrei hey. There are those whose flesh heals more rapidly, and hence the medical expenses will be less. The iko de lo solik bisrei hey. And there are those that whose flesh doesn't heal quickly. More, therefore, more medical expenses. Lamai nafkamina, for what practical purposes do we need to know this? Lamesivle heich, the baini baini, where the, let us imagine that the offender is that kind of individual who heals rapidly. The victim heals slowly, so that the additional days and amount of medicine and the medical attention that the victim needs is the amount that Torah had in mind when it said, v'rapo yirapeh, in addition to the punishment of having the offender's actual limb literally removed, he will also have to pay those additional medical expenses that go beyond his own medical expenses. So, as far as approach number 8 is concerned, it could be that punishment for causing injury is in fact literal. Number 9, we're calling this 9 Aleph. Ravashi gives us his approach. However, there is a second stage of Ravashi that you'll see 4 lines from now in the middle of the line. Ravashi Omar, Asya Tacha Tachas Mishor. We use a Gzereshova from the case of Ax. Ksivocha Ayan Tachas Ayan, the pasuk that we've been focusing on all the time. Eye for an eye, uksiv hosam, and it says when it comes to animal injury, it says shalem, yishalem shor, tachas ashor. Ma lahalon mamon, just like over there, by the animal, it said pay, it's payment. It's a money payment. Afkan, momon, so too over here. By eye for an eye, the word tachas appears as well, so it's a money payment. The Gemara asks, my chazis dialfis tachas tachas mishor? What is it that you see to conclude learning tachas tachas from shor, from the case of the animal? Nelev tachas tachas mi odom, tichtiv. Why not learn a word comparison between the topic of man injury with the case of a man committing murder, where it says dichtiv, neilif tachas tachas meyodam dichtiv, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, ma'al alon mama, it's just like over there. It's literal. Man executed, punishment for murderer, his own execution. Afkan mamish, so too in the case of damage. Literal. More response. Amri donin nezikin min nezikin. We prefer to conclude matters of injury from other matters of injury, as was the case with the animal. They ain't donin nezikin min misa. But we're not going to conclude laws concerning man imposing injury from laws that deal with execution. Adarabba, to the contrary. Donin odom mi odom. They ain't donin odom mi bema. Let's learn laws applying to man from other laws applying to man. That would lead me to say, in addition to murder, where we execute and carry out a literal form punishment, so too in injury of man, literal form punishment. We ain't done it all on me, Bama. I'm not going to conclude one realm from a totally different realm. I'm not going to conclude man from animal. So this approach is not successful within Ravashi. Elom Ravashi. So here we go to a second approach, but within Ravashi. That's why we're not calling this a new number, we're simply calling it 9 bays. Another point, we have a dashed diamond here. On the side we note Tam Uyan Mekuvkav, the reason for the dashed diamond. We're only coming to upgrade Ravashi, not presenting a new opinion. So the Gemara continues. We mentioned Ravashi originally mentioned tachas tachas. So the upgraded Ravashi says, "Well, Elam Ravashi mitachas asha'ino yolif lei." This pasuk is found in the context of a man that rapes a na'ara. Na'ara is a girl, 12 years of age. The pasuk says that the payment is made, and it says tachas ershirino. So you see the word tachas over there, and when you know the parsha of Ones, you know that money is paid. And what do we gain by learning from there? Adam me adam. I'm learning our case of ayin tachas ayin, which is a man is the victim of the injury, from another case of a human being victim of injury. Unezikin minezikin. And not only is it man from man, but it's damage learned from damage, where she experienced depreciation through the rape. The person who experienced depreciation through the damage imposed to him is therefore to be derived from that pasuk. And just like over there, it's clear that we're talking about a money payment, so too here by damages in general. It's a money compensation. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, ayin, tachas ayin, mamish. So we have this rather brief Tanaic source where Rabbi Elazar says he takes a stand. It seems to be a literal stand that ayin tachas ayin means literal. Mamish salgadai. Does Rabbi Elazar really mean that? Rabbi Elazar less like kachol hani tanoi. Does he not hold from all of the Tanaic approaches and sources that we saw above? All of them were at least holding that it's money payment. Whether they were all successful in proving it's another story, but they all held that it's a money payment. Why would Rebbe Elazar go up against all of them? Omar Rabba, Lomar she'ein shomen oisoi ke'eved. When Rebbe Elazar says ayin tachas ayin mamash, he doesn't mean literally eye for an eye. It means, what he means to say is that we don't evaluate the victim as a slave. When trying to calculate the amount to pay, we don't do the evaluation that we mentioned earlier. How much would he be worth as a slave now, after the depreciation? How much would he have been worth before? And we paid the differentiation. Oh, so Rebbe Elazar says we don't do that. We don't evaluate him like a slave. What, you're going to evaluate him like the cost of a free man? A free man, does he have value? When you want to talk about values and apply to people, you have to look at them as if they were being sold as a slave. So what do you mean when you say ayin tachas ayin mamish? Elom Ravashi, lomar she'en shomen oisoi banizak ela bamazik. Rebbe Elazar said mamish, he meant to say we don't make the evaluation in terms of the value of the victim, but rather in terms of the value of the offender. Now, the offender, though, hasn't been depreciated. He's still healthy. However, we say, we look at the offender, we look at his eye, so to speak, and we say, how much less would this man be worth without his eye from that which he is worth now? So that the word, and Rashi explains, mamish meant we look at the offender literally and pay in accordance with the depreciation that he would have experienced had his eye been lost. So last approach, the approach taken by Rav Ashi, he had a special Gzeres HaKosov, Gzeres Shava with Oines, from which we were able to prove Momon Mamish. Momon means Momon as opposed to Mamish, as opposed to a literal eye for an eye. And as far as the Tana Rebbe Elazar is concerned, he didn't mean eye for an eye literally, but rather the evaluation is made in terms of the value of the offender as opposed to the victim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.